It's interesting how Mark,
in his gospel, likes to use the word immediately, and it's like a clue, it's like a cue, it's like a heads up, and I want you to take note of that as we work through the gospel according to Mark chapter 6. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow sailors, amen. Well, another storm. Another boat ride going wrong. I thought I just preached about this, but it's happening again. What does that mean? Storms show up. They just keep happening. It's not a matter of if. It's only a matter of when. And maybe even how many. But that's life. That's the way it is. And the disciples just following orders. Yes, sir. They get in the boat. How's it going for them? Not so good. I mean, they're just trying to follow orders. And the wind is against them, and they're just making painful progress. Ever happened to you? Happens to me. Anyone facing some storms today? Or is it a little smoother today? Thank the Lord. Again, you know, these things just show up. It's part of this world, like it or not. Some of the storms that you and I get into have no one else to blame but ourselves. Doesn't make it any easier. Some of the storms that you and I go through are the fault of others. Doesn't make it much easier to go through them. And, you know, storms just happen. It's the way it is. It is what it is. And yet, boy, they can be so overwhelming. They can be so, so challenging, just like it was for the disciples. Just like it was for the disciples. And if today you're going through a storm, I'm sorry. We all face them. They're not easy. It is a bummer when people in your life make light of them, because the storms are hard. And yet, as Christians, there's more to these storms than just all law. And we get a glimpse of it today in our gospel reading, which is so cool. I mean, I know I say they're so cool. They're all really cool. But this one's really cool. Because of the gospel. And here it is. They're in the midst of another storm, trying to be faithful, not working so well. They're making terrible progress. Often like it is in your life and my life. Can't really jump out of the boat. But here's what happens. This is the gospel. Jesus saw them straining at the oars. I mean, think about it. He sends away all the people he fed. Spends some time up on a mountain praying. From that vantage point, he sees. He can see right through the storm. He sees what's going on. Isn't that good news? He doesn't get distracted by all the noise. He sees. And then he came to them. No storm was any match for him. He could get to where they were. He talks to them. And then he went up into the boat with them. Isn't that good news? It's not about them anymore. It's about the storms you and I are in. He sees. He comes. He talks. He's willing to travel along with us. Gosh, it's nice to know we have a constant companion who can help us in the storms of our life, however those storms blow in and shake us about with conflict and doubt and everything else. That's good news. Not that the disciples got it. I mean, that's good news in a way too. Jesus isn't going to just do things so he can get praise. He just does things. That's what he does. Boy, that's good news. Even if the disciples don't get it. I mean, it's fascinating how Mark, time and again, likes to help us understand the difference between unbelief and faith. How unbelief deals with Jesus, how faith deals with Jesus. And here, in this chapter, we get this picture of what's going on. So how did the disciples respond? Mark tells us. Let's read it together. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Huh? This is about the bread? So Jesus is going about doing his ministry in the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving. He's doing amazing things. 5 loaves and 2 fish, he fed 5,000 plus women and children. That's amazing. The disciples were right there taking it all in. They collected the 12 baskets of leftovers. I had one of my shut-ins say this last week, who was a math major, he said, yeah, that's not the way we do math, but there was more. I mean, they saw all this, and guess what they didn't get? They didn't get Jesus. And this is a warning for us, with all due respect. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Lutheran. Doesn't matter how long you've been a member of this church. Because familiarity breeds contempt. They're not getting Jesus. Of all at that day and that time who should be able to get Jesus, you would think it would be the ones walking closest with him. Again, beware. Can you and I struggle with hardness of heart? Absolutely. Can it plague me and plague you? You better believe it. Does it call us all to repent? I hope so. I don't want to have a hard heart, do you? But this is the danger of not receiving Jesus in faith. Not looking to him in faith. Just dealing with head knowledge without any heart knowledge. Understanding all kinds of things, but not applying them to our storms of life. You'll see what faith looks like here in a few minutes with the storms of life. But we really need to understand this. We need to understand that it's more than just practicing what we know. It's applying what we believe. It's applying it to whatever we need to apply it to, whether it's the storms in our lives or the storms in the lives of those around us. It's understanding that Jesus is our ark of salvation and that he can come to our rescue. He's the one who can bring us through any and all the challenges that we face, the storms in our lives, because he is the ark of our salvation. It's pretty powerful. The disciples don't get him because of the hardness of their heart. Thank the Lord he doesn't give up on them, just like he doesn't give up on us. He's going to care for them. And then in turn, we'll see how he cares for us. Because we know about the storm that he went through. A storm brewing over the horizon, even when this storm was going on and the disciples weren't getting Jesus. And he would face that storm in your place and my place, going the way of Calvary's cross, facing the wrath of God for all the ways that we have failed God in our lives of unbelief, and then giving us the gift of his salvation that works faith within our hearts and minds. That's what the ark of salvation does. That's what Jesus does in your life and my life. And it is absolutely wonderful to know that he comes to where we're at. Let's read this together. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. I mean, isn't this ironic? The people in the land of Gennesaret were hearing about this rabbi traveling about the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving. The Holy Spirit works enough faith within them to the point where they can do what when he shows up? Recognize him. I mean, what are the disciples doing? Just sitting in the boat still moored at the shoreline? Or are they starting to get it too? We don't know. Again, it's not about them. Who are now the ones watching the people from Gennesaret doing their, is it mission? Is it ministry? Well, whatever it is, it's connecting people to Jesus. What are they doing? They're going about. Think of the effort they have to do. Just imagine some of the hardships they had to go through to figure out where Jesus was so they could finally connect their loved ones who were hurting, in need of healing, in need of help, in need of deliverance. What it took for them to finally get to where Jesus was. But what were they determined to do? Load people on the ark. Get people connected to Jesus. Because that's where their help would be found. I mean, isn't it fascinating? The disciples aren't getting Jesus, but a whole other group of disciples are getting Jesus. Which church do you belong to? Who are you a part of? Now, in truth, we have to say yes, right, to both, because sometimes we just don't get it. But we also know what it means to be loved and forgiven. We know what it means to be connected to Jesus. And certainly, we want to make a difference. Certainly, we want to see people connected to Jesus. Maybe we're a little awkward in getting it done. But that's what it's about. It's loading people onto the ark so that they'll be safe as they travel through the storms of life, as they get buffeted about by all the crazy things that can happen, knowing that they're safe on the good ship, Jesus. That's really what it's all about. That's what we've been about, and that's what we want to do. Some of the things that we're hoping to do this fall are all about this And God willing, we can do it. But it takes a crew. Now, I don't want to become too dramatic and say all hands on deck, but it takes a crew. It takes a few. A few hands make the work light. And it's not that we haven't accomplished these kinds of things. This is the life of the church today. You know, I'm remiss in not saying more about what has taken place over the years with regard to our prayer ministry, for instance. How we've been trying to connect people to Jesus. And we have one little response from a young man who had a mystery illness, and he's just so thankful. They've never been able to figure out what was going on with him, but he's been cured. He knows he's better. And he's so thankful that the people of St. Paul prayed for him. He's on the prayer list on the bottom of our last page of our bulletin, and soon he'll be taken off. I mean, I've got prayer cards that go back years with prayer requests we've prayed about, answered, and sometimes I just pull that out and look at them and thank God, and then eventually I shred them, you know, because I think that's the right thing to do. But it's so fascinating. What this church was doing then, God has us doing now. And a lot of it is hidden. A lot of it is unknown. But think about how easier it is than the old days, when the only kind of connecting to Jesus you could have was the old-fashioned FaceTime. Figure out where he's at on Google Maps and get there before he travels on, and maybe it's too late, so where did he go? I mean, all we have to do is say a prayer. Think of it. Post-crucifixion, post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-Pentecost, flooding of the Spirit to the world. Now, we're this close. All we have to do is just, Lord, help my neighbor. Lord, bless my coworker. Look at the family on the TV. I can't believe what they're going through. I mean, look at how easy it is now for us to connect people to Jesus, to load them on the ark, and then leave them with him. I mean, isn't that the best place for all the people in our lives? Instead of being the control freak, always having to keep up where they're at, just give them to Jesus. Let them travel with him through the day. He's the best ark. He is the ark. All the other boats will fail. All the other ships will sink. Not Jesus. So one of the most important things we can do is pray for one another, to keep people connected to Jesus. And it's fascinating how Paul, in our epistle reading, he's not afraid to tell people how he prays for them. Don't be afraid to tell people how you pray for them. Follow Paul's lead. This is how he said it to the Ephesians. For this reason, you know, Paul just, you know, chapter 1, he talks about this wonderful gift of justification by grace through faith in Christ apart from works of the law. And then he talks about how the church is to be that conduit through which the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed to the world. And at the end of that, you know, he says, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, and I pray that he would grant you the strength with the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Be renewed, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he tells them what he's praying for, that Christ live in them, and that they be rooted and grounded in love. Is there a better way to face a day than standing on the foundation, rooted and grounded in the love of God? No way. And then he goes on to say that you may know and comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and width and depth, that you know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so forth. I mean, one of the most important things we can do is pray for each other. That's what distinguishes us from the world around us that need to be loaded on the ark. And if maybe you haven't done a lot of praying in your life today, start. Pray for the people. Load them on the ark. See how Jesus will carry them through this week. See what Jesus will do. Why? Because he's the ark of salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Here, I'll give you this blessing. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Boy, that's cool. According to the power at work within us, Paul starts Ephesians with the Holy Spirit that works toward us. In chapter 3, it's now the Holy Spirit that works in us. And then, of course, chapter 4, he warns us of grieving the Holy Spirit when we don't want to follow him. But think about it this way. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.